exercise has been proven to decrease anxiety, depression, and stress, and boost self-esteem, mood, and energy. But knowing the psychological benefits of exercise doesn't always make doing it any easier, especially if you're already struggling with mental health problems. Winter months bring more barriers to exercise. It can be tough for a lot of us to get off the couch. Our next guest has advice to help us overcome barriers to exercise, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you find most challenging about exercising, getting physical activity regularly? What advice do you need on how to do it? Have you found a way to build it into your routine, whether it's a trip to the gym or a quick walk around the neighborhood? And in the winter, what do you do to stay active? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Lisa Cadmus-Bertram is an associate professor of kinesiology at UW-Madison, leader of the Cancer Prevention and Control Program at the UW-Carbone Cancer Center. Lisa, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Can you tell us a little more about the psychological benefits of exercise?
Certainly. Well, physical activity has many mental and physical health benefits, and it's really one of the best ways that we can sort of both reduce our risk of experiencing anxiety and depression, and also to help manage those symptoms if you're somebody who already experiences one or both of those.
Do we know why exercise, or even just, and I want to distinguish exercise or even just physical activity, why are they so good for our mental health?
Yeah, well, I think that they do provide, you know, the stimulation that often helps us to break out of cycles of worrying or rumination, which characterize both anxiety and depression for a lot of people that suffer from it. And there's also a lot of ongoing research around, you know, the mechanisms that underlie the physiologic response that exercise creates. So through inflammation or endorphins or other pathways, even including endocannabinoids, which are cannabinoid factors that are produced from within our bodies rather than something that we take in from outside that can help us to have that feeling of well-being.
Now, I just made a distinction that I think might be important, exercise or physical activity. Now, sometimes if we think, oh, exercise, that means I have to spend an hour doing cardio or go to the gym or the pool or whatever. That's great, but smaller amounts of physical activity that we might not even think of as exercise can have some of these same benefits. Do I have this right?
Yeah. So one of the big ways that our national physical activity guidelines changed in the past couple of years is we no longer have any minimum requirement for the amount of sessions, the length of a session that's thought to be beneficial. So if you think back 10 or 20 years, you may remember hearing, oh, you should do exercise 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. And then around 2008, they said, well, actually, it turns out that it doesn't really have to be 30 minutes. It could just be 10 minutes at a time. And now that we have a more evolved scientific literature around physical activity and health, we actually understand it's the total volume of physical activity over time that really matters. So it is absolutely sort of an every minute counts way of thinking of things, where even short sessions or short bouts of physical activity are really important to our mental and physical health.
I want to speak to a very particular group of people, people dealing with depression and other forms of mental illness. They may know that exercise would help them, but easier said than done. In some ways, your brain is working against you when you're trying to get motivated. What thoughts do you have for people in that position?
Absolutely. I think that one piece of advice that I have that is great for people who are struggling with depression, but also applicable to anyone else as well, is when you're thinking about exercise, how to get motivated, how to get started, to try and come at it from a place of curiosity rather than a place of guilt, thinking I should be doing this. Why am I not doing this? Why can't I get off the couch? But really sort of looking at your habits and thinking, you know, when it's time for me to exercise and I'm not doing it, like, what am I feeling? Like, what am I experiencing? And then trying to troubleshoot from there. The other thing that I really, well, two other suggestions that I have. One is to really focus on the frequency of physical activity over the intensity or the duration of sessions. So if you can get out and, you know, especially if you can get outdoors, especially if you can find somewhere with green space. We're learning more and more about how important that is to our mental health. But even get out for those very short periods of time, and you can just tell yourself, all I'm going to do is 5 minutes. all I'm going to do is 2 minutes or whatever you feel is feasible. And once you're out the door, a lot of times you will find that you feel ready and able to do more. Not every time, but a lot of times. Another suggestion is one of the things that tends to coexist and is part of depression is sort of social withdrawal or isolation. So physical activity can be one way that you can reconnect with people. If there's somebody that, you know, you enjoy talking with, maybe getting together with them for a walk kind of is a two birds with one stone type situation, because it's going to help bring you some social connectedness and also give you a sense of accountability. So, you know, whether depressed or not, for a lot of people, knowing that you're going to meet somebody to go be physically active together is a lot more motivating. You're much more likely to actually follow through with that than if it's just an intention that you have to do alone.
We're talking to Lisa Cadmus-Bertram from UW-Madison's Department of Kinesiology, looking at the mental health benefits of exercise and physical activity and the motivation and how to get it, how to build routines around getting some activity. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your experiences, your questions. That's 800-642-1234. Angela joins us now in Baraboo. Angela, hi.
Hi. Actually, it's an echo of what she just said. When I'm not motivated, I tell myself I'm only going to do this for 10 minutes. And sometimes I'll even set the alarm on my phone. But then, and sometimes after 10 minutes, I quit. I'm like, I'm done. But normally after 10 minutes, it's like, well, I can go another five. Well, I can go another five after that. Oh, well, you know what? I've done 20. I might as well do 30 minutes of activity.
That's great, Angela. And do you find that after that 10 minutes or once you get rolling, do you feel like it boosts your mood a little bit?
Yes, yes, definitely. I mean, I'm a runner, and running to me is just kind of like, it's almost like going to church. Some of the most amazing experiences I've ever had in my life have been when I've been on these runs just out in the country.
Angela, thank you so much for sharing that story. I appreciate it. So, yeah, as she said, Lisa, she was echoing that. If you do a little bit, that might be the first step to doing a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. And on those days when you do the 5 minutes and you don't feel like continuing, then, you know, it's important to remember then the next step is to pat yourself on the back because you succeeded and you did those 5 minutes. And that's extremely important.
Thanks again for calling, Angela, at 800-642-1234. Now, Lisa, I know you work with patients at the Carbone Center who are, in many cases, recovering from cancer. And there's a paradox when it comes to fatigue, which could be for the patients you're dealing with and others. Sometimes we can solve our fatigue by getting some exercise. But sometimes, and we've talked about long COVID on the show, sometimes fatigue is a sign that we need more rest. How do we sort out what's causing our fatigue and what to do about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So especially for people going through cancer treatments that are causing fatigue, it is a bit of a cycle because physical activity is one of the most effective ways to deal with the fatigue. But of course, when you're feeling fatigue and going through it, the last thing you want to do is go be physically active. And I think a lot of other people experience that as well. For people who have fatigue and they're not really sure if they need more activity or more sleep, I think in a lot of cases, the answer may be both. And that's where really taking a look at your sleep hygiene can be so helpful and focusing in on, you know, just those standard things like trying to go to bed at the same time, wake up at the same time, make sure your sleeping area or your bedroom is nice and dark, avoid screens or blue light for an hour or two before bed. And I think that, you know, if you stick to those things alone can be beneficial for a lot of people.
We're talking about ways to get physical activity, even when we're unmotivated, maybe fatigued, maybe feeling depression, maybe when it's freezing and dark outside, or you just plain don't feel like it. Lisa Cadmus-Bertram is with us, Associate Professor of Kinesiology at UW-Madison, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you personally experienced mental health benefits of physical activity of some sort? Have you had trouble getting motivated? Have you found ways to build activity and exercise into your daily routine? Do you have questions? Need some advice or maybe inspiration from our guest? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. The conversation continues coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation about how to exercise when we really don't feel like it with Lisa Cadmus Bertram, Associate Professor of Kinesiology at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had trouble building exercise and activity into your routine? Did you find a solution that worked for you? Where do you see the mental and emotional benefits of exercise? Do you feel it? Are you doing something right now that's making you feel better? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Lisa, I know for me anyway, maybe I'm the only person like this. If I'm counting on willpower to solve any problem, including getting more physical activity, I might as well just hang it up. It's got to be, something else, something I structure into my day or build a routine about. How important is that?
For a lot of people, it's incredibly important. We're all able to brush our teeth every day. There's other things that are just part of our habits and part of our lifestyle. And I think to the extent that folks are able to find a place where physical activity can fit in the same spot in their schedule every day, that's one approach that can be very successful for helping people to get it done and get it into their day. For other people who have a lot more variability, perhaps in their work schedules or their caregiving responsibilities, it can be a little bit more difficult to sort of create that very steady habit where they're doing the same routine of physical activity at the same part of the day. And that's where you have to get a little bit more creative and maybe mix it up a bit more.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Ted is with us now in West Allis. Hi, Ted.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's your exercise story, Ted?
I've got a few comments to make. One of them is I am 70. I retired 4 years ago, and after the first, month, I put on probably, 10 pounds, and I immediately joined a couple of gyms. And as I hope most retirees understand that, when you get on a Medicare Advantage plan, they all have gym memberships included, no charge to you whatsoever. And you can join up to, at least with my plan, there's 8 or 9 different gyms that are on the list. You can join them as many as you want because they only get paid when you clock in, swipe in, whatever. And what I found is that, if you don't have anything really planned for the day, you don't know what to do or whatever, I think just getting up, getting off your butt, either taking a walk, go to the gym, whatever, it's going to get everything moving, your heart moving, which is going to pump more blood to your brain. I just feel like somebody mentioned going to church, and I find that a very good analogy. I think they all tie in body, mind, spirit. And I think, one feeds the other. And as you feed each of those, I just think the benefits take care of themselves.
Fantastic, Ted. Thank you so much for sharing that story with us. Lisa, one thing I wanted to key in on, and you can go where you want with it too, is Ted had a big change in his life. He retired and found that he needed to do something different. How can that disrupt our level of physical activity when we make a big life change like that?
It can be a huge disruption. Retirement's a big one. Starting a new job, having a baby is probably having a baby and retiring are probably the two biggest ones that really disrupt people's daily patterns. So both of those, I think the approach he took is a fantastic one. And I'm so glad you brought that up because that's a resource that's available to everybody who's on Medicare. And there's a lot of different ways to access that through a number of different community resources. But when you're making a big life change, it's a great idea to be mindful of how that's impacting other habits that you're having around your physical activity, your diet, and your sleep, and then starting to strategize about, whether you're satisfied with how things are looking now or whether there are some changes that you might be interested in making. The other great thing about, finding access to gyms, especially for older folks, is one of the things that we've learned through our research with people living in rural Wisconsin is that there are, sometimes more barriers, especially as we head into this part of the year where the days are shorter and a lot of people may not be comfortable, exercising outdoors when it's dark, especially when we start to get those slippery sidewalks. And especially for older folks, you got to be really cognizant of risks of falls and things like that. So while I do encourage outdoor exercise, I think finding access to gyms is also a really important part of the puzzle if you're able to do it.
Another thing I love that I heard from Ted there was he said, when I don't have anything better to do, you know, and, you know, we might pick up our phone or watch a TV show or whatever. And those are fine things. But having that on our roster of not doing anything else, why not go for a little walk? That can be an easy way to fit in some extra activity.
Yeah, absolutely. Or both. Right. So one of the things that I enjoy while I'm exercising is watching shows or movies if I'm, you know, indoors and on the treadmill, or listening to music or podcasts outdoors, or even if you're out walking, you know, calling a loved one. Sometimes I go out for a walk for exercise and call my mom. So sort of combining, so you can do something that you enjoy at the same time that you're getting your physical activity in.
Thanks again for that call, Ted, at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Elizabeth in Genoa City. Elizabeth, hi.
Hello. Well, you know, I started doing yoga when I was in my 20s on television before computers were invented. And I put together a series of things that I keep tweaking through my life. I'm 62 now. I've been doing it almost every single day for 42 years. And I can tell when I don't do it how I tighten up. So I try to encourage other people to do it, or if you've never done it, it's, to me, stretching and, you know, moving your body different ways so that you use and you massage your organs in the meantime inside. So then you could do chair yoga, which I've tried, which is really, really good if you've never done it before. So I just encourage it so much for people, because I feel like I'm 30 and I'm 62.
Not bad, Elizabeth. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us. Lisa, yoga as a part of our toolkit here.
Fantastic. Thank you for your call and for this comment. That's especially as we're talking about emotional well-being and mental health. Yoga is absolutely amazing because it combines stretching and physical activity with that meditative component. So really combines a lot of, you know, physical, mental benefits all into one package.
Thanks again for that.
And I would also add, I like that you mentioned chair yoga. Sometimes people who are not as familiar with yoga might think, oh, you need to be very flexible, you need to be very limber. Well, there's many different types of yoga and can be adapted for any type of functional ability. So you're truly not too old or too young to be able to enjoy and benefit from it.
Elizabeth, thanks again for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Lisa Cadmus-Bertram, Associate Professor of Kinesiology at UW-Madison, looking at the mental health benefits of exercise and helping us get motivated to do exercise, to do physical activity, whatever situation we might be in. Still time for your call if you call quick at 800-642-1234 with your story or your question. Lisa, I want to dig a little deeper into winter now. You mentioned that as an issue for seniors, you know, and safety and ice, that's out there for all of us. But how about overcoming the motivation problems of exercise? When it, you know, gets, it's the night is a lot longer. It gets dark earlier. It persuades me not to exercise sometimes. I'll admit that.
Okay. So I have three ideas here. One is to think about if there's ways that you can incorporate exercise during the middle of the day so that you can get the benefits of the sunshine and, you know, as well as some increased safety while you're exercising. So perhaps if you're retired, that's a little bit easier for some folks. If you are still working, then, you know, depending on your occupation, you may or may not be able to fit some short walks into your workday. Another approach is to think about what you can do to make exercising a little bit more appealing or safer outdoors. So making sure that you have good reflective apparel, that you have lights, maybe that you're walking with a friend, choosing well-lit, well-shoveled areas to walk on can be really important as well.
Yeah, my wife and I got little blinking lights for walking after dark. They're pretty dorky, but they do the job.
I have one more comment to that. And the other thing is that we are blessed here in Wisconsin with absolutely beautiful winters. And there's so many wonderful things that we can only do during winter, including some things like cross-country skiing, which are very gentle, very accessible. And you know, if that's something that appeals to you, I would encourage checking it out, because I think that if you can find those special things that you can enjoy outdoors that you can only do in the winter, then, you know, yes, we have the cold. Yes, we have the wind. Yes, we have the darkness. But we also have some things that we can look forward to during those really cold months.
I wanted to ask also about physical barriers to exercise. People might be, as with some of the people you work with, I'm sure, recovering from cancer. Some people might have chronic pain or an injury they're recovering from. I mean, the list goes on and on. Do you have some suggestions on how people who have particular physical barriers can find the kinds of exercise that are still going to work for them?
Yeah, absolutely. So we know that physical activity is so important for everyone, regardless of age or physical limitations. And so depending on your specific condition or injury, obviously it's going to vary a lot, but there's more and more resources available online. You can talk to your doctor or other providers, or look for programs like here in the Department of Kinesiology. We have an adapted fitness program, which is designed to provide physical fitness training to people living with a really wide variety of disabilities. And they're partnered with undergraduate students to assist in that training. So there's a lot of opportunities out there. And, you know, you just kind of have to find what's the right fit for your particular situation so that you can get the benefits that you're looking for and make sure that you're doing it in a way that's going to be safe, that's not going to set you back with your recovery or exacerbate your condition or create other risks.
Lisa, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Lisa Cadmus-Bertram, Associate Professor of Kinesiology at UW-Madison, leader of the Cancer Prevention and Control Program at the UW-Carbone Cancer Center. She talked to us about ways to make exercising and physical activity easier when you're struggling with barriers, including mental health, physical health, and more. If you have a story of how you found a way to stay active and you had to overcome some of those barriers, love to hear it. Email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org.